Good morning, Faith Walkers. If anyone is planning to retire, forget about it. When we go up in the rapture. Because our Lord has a lot of work for us. Which is a good thing. Because I don't know how to play a harp anyway. Because our true witness does not end on this earth. Otherwise, we wouldn't need resurrected flesh. If we could leave as a spirit, we could leave as a... But our work will continue in the New Jerusalem by the spoken word of Jesus to be a royal priesthood. Prime ministers of an everlasting covenant that was bought and paid for with the blood of the Lamb, our fiancé, the bridegroom, our first love, our Master, Lord and Savior, God's one and only Son, Christ Jesus, King of kings and Lord of lords. The main theme for this is, I am coming soon. Blessed is the one who keeps the word of this prophecy written in the scroll. So I'll do the Maranatha last. And I'll do some reading. Revelation 22:7. And we'll take it all the way to the end. Look, I am coming soon. Blessed are those who obey the words of prophecy written in this book. I, John, am the one who heard and saw all things. And when I heard and saw them, I fell down to worship at the feet of an angel who showed them to me. But he said, no, don't worship me. I am a servant of God. Just like you and your brothers and prophets, as well as all of obey is written in this book. Worship only God. Then he instructed me, do not seal up the prophetic words in this book, for the time is near. Let the one who is doing harm continue to do harm. Let the one who is vile continue to do vile. Let the one who is righteous continue to live righteously. Let the one who is holy continue to be holy. Look, I am coming soon, bringing my reward with me to repay all people according to their deeds. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes. They will be permitted to enter through the gates of the city, and eat the fruit from the tree of life. Outside the city are the dogs, the sorcerers, the sexually immoral, the readers, idol worshippers, and all who love to live a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this message for the churches. I am both the source of David and the heir to this throne. I am the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Let anyone who hears this say, come. Let anyone who is thirsty say, come. Let anyone who desires drink freely from the water of life. And I solemnly declare to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy written in this book, if anyone adds anything to what is written here, God will add to that person the plagues described in this book. And if anyone removes any of the words from this book of prophecy, God will remove that person's share in the tree of life and the holy city that are described in this book. He who is faithful, witness to all these things, say, yes, I am coming soon. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. May the grace of the Lord Jesus be with God's people. I told you we were going to work. Two themes, grace and the second coming. There are two ways we can dishonor God. One is the flesh, that's personal immorality. The other is spiritual, creating a man-made gospel, because it doesn't honor God either way. And when Jesus rode into Jerusalem, he called her harlot because she was doing the same thing. So the blessed part is, I am coming soon. And then, blessed is the one who keeps the words of the prophecy written in this scroll. In other words, Jesus wants to know how we're doing in the love department. Because when Jesus came to this earth looking for a bride, she wanted to get in the kingdom, but she didn't know how to pray. So Jesus said, pray like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So when we get to heaven, we're going to be on fire for Jesus. So if we're on fire for Jesus up there, when we get there, then he wants us to be on fire for him down here below. In other words, what are you doing with your light here? Because I'm coming soon. Are you making yourself a faithful and fruitful bride? So, that's the promise. And she has to keep that promise, and she has to do it according to the gospel of Jesus Christ our Lord. And she has to keep protecting the death, burial, and resurrection. And she has to keep it in that covenant. Otherwise, if she goes out of the covenant, back into legalism, she's fair game for Satan. That's why the most miserable man on earth is not an unsaved man when he gets out of his grace. The most miserable man on earth is a saved man, who's out of fellowship, meaning he doesn't belong to a strong group such as Faith Walkers, who appreciate and protect God's grace and God's truth, as it was written in his holy book, so that we can help clean each other's feet when we fall and stumble back into spiritual darkness according to the power of our own understanding. So that we can make sure that every man's name may be found written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So that we have the power to say no to sin and to stay strong in our faith according to the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Because it's God's truth that unleashes the power to be in fellowship with God that hinges on walking in the light as he is in the light. So that people, places, and things don't emotionally beat the daylights out of him. And he doesn't even know who is orchestrating the battle. Satan himself. Because he hates a child, a bride of Christ. He wants her to have misery. He wants to steal her joy, her peace with God. So she's always feeling guilty, feeling ashamed, feeling lonely, feeling unsure of her faith because she doesn't know how much her bridegroom really loves her because she is weak in the truth. But Jesus has never given up on her, and he never will. She has given up on herself by not being in fellowship with like-minded believers who are strong in the faith according to God's grace and wisdom. When Peter fell out of fellowship with Jesus, not just once, but three times in one night, because he was ashamed of the gospel that Jesus came to bring that was full of grace and full of truth. Because of the fear of the legalizers, he later found out that if he was willing to reconcile back to Jesus, then Jesus was willing to restore him so that he could feed his sheep by being born again of the Spirit, so that he could preach the word in spirit and in truth, and made him a senior bride on the day of Pentecost. When we read the oldest book in the Bible, the book of Job, God gives us knowledge that even Job didn't know when he was going through his trials and his tribulations. He didn't know that this world has two invisible fathers. Two invisible lights. He knew the one true God, God the Father, the creator of all things, including our plan of salvation before the foundations of the world. And everything that was created by his grace and his truth. And because he was also a holy God, meaning he doesn't make mistakes, so if God gives by grace or takes away by grace, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he didn't know about the other God, who really isn't God. He just thinks he's God because he's psychotic. He didn't know that the devil was the cause of all of his problems, because God never mentioned the devil to Job. So if the God of the Bible is the God of grace, and grace is a natural enemy of legalism, then who is the father of legalism? Must be the other God, called the world, the flesh, and the power of the air, better known as the wisdom of men, because we were all born connected to that tree that our Father told us not to eat from, until Jesus' blood of the Lamb released us from that tree, so that we could run, jump the fence, and run back to our Father at the tree of good and evil. As a forgiven bride, the only one who has authority over the wisdom of men is the wisdom of God, called sound doctrine, better known as the written word of God. That's why our Lord cautions us in Isaiah 55:8-9. My thoughts, meaning God's wisdom, are not your thoughts, meaning our wisdom. Nor are your ways disobedience. My ways are obedience. If God would allow man to be his own savior by creating his own gospel, then unbelieving man would make heaven a reward for the self-righteous, called filthy rags in God's sight. Because the pride of man that we are all born with cannot believe God when he says to us, there is no one righteous, no, not one. We are all guilty of sin. That's why our Lord Jesus had to make heaven a free gift for the guilty, by taking the wrath of God for us, so that we can start a new life in Christ, by receiving his resurrected life to live in us, our only hope of glory. That's why faith in the Bible is taking God at his word, because of who he is, especially when he is talking to us from the cross. And who he is a heavenly Father who will never desert us, never deceive us, and always love us. And always love us as the bride of Christ, the ecclesia, God's church, made up of both born-again Jews, born-again Gentiles, born-again men and born-again women and children. That's why Psalm 103 tells us, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him, meaning those who respect his word, those who humbly want to be lovers, our first love, of the truth, those who want to repent and sin no more against the knowledge of truth. Because if we don't stop sinning against the knowledge of truth, then Satan wins the battle of our mind. And the things we don't want to do, we end up doing anyway. And the things we don't want to do is to create for ourselves a different gospel. That we're like filthy rags on a snow-white gown. So while we're waiting for the Lord to come back, that's our job among faith walkers. Make sure we're staying clean, because we love to get our feet dirty. And sometimes, I don't know if I got my feet dirty. And so the senior brides would have to wash my feet, and then the junior brides would have to wash the sophomore's feet, and then even the sophisticated sophomore, yes, even has to wash the feet of the low or the low freshman feet. And if you ever went to college or certain high schools, you know what I'm talking about. And that's how we sharpen iron with iron, so we can keep ourselves pure. That's why when our Lord went back to the Father to prepare a place for his bride, the most sobering scripture that the mind of Christ has ever written through the pen of the Apostle Paul reads like this in 2 Timothy 4. To those who were chosen to teach the word of God, I charge you, stash, meaning hold, it means hold you accountable, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, meaning the second coming, when he comes back for the bride. Because we have a dangerous enemy called death, Satan himself, who hates women, and he loves to deceive them, as in the case of our first parents, Adam and Eve, to eat from that tree of death, the wisdom of men, the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. That's why our Lord provided a virgin birth through the seed of a woman, so that the bride could be born again in the spirit and be reconnected to the mind of Christ, that are known as the Holy Spirit, living in us, never to leave us or forsake us, until he calls us home, whether it's in death or the rapture, before God sets Satan's kingdom on fire, that he can destroy evil once and for all time, so he can bring in his new Jerusalem. And if we were willing to keep this prophecy, meaning to protect, defend, and never alter in any way whatsoever the death, the burial, the resurrection of God's one and only Son, and guard it with our heart, Christ Jesus our bridegroom, then we will be most blessed, because we will find our names in the Lamb's Book of Life in the New Jerusalem. So how are we going to get there? Anytime soon. And anytime soon is 15 through 18 in Thessalonians. We tell you this directly from the Lord. We who are still living when the Lord returns will not meet him ahead of those who have died. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of God first. First, the Christians who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Then we will be with the Lord forever. So encourage each other with these words. Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you, Jesus, and thank you, Holy Spirit, who is living in us, never to leave us or forsake us. We couldn't do it on our own. It's three Godheads in one. And that's why it's so holy, holy, holy. And we pray this through your precious Son's name. Amen.